And this is our number
two. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's the world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package for you, coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. And our Fastest 15 is streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome! Let me get this straight. So when I went to the University of Washington, any moron could get in there.
That's not the case now.
No. I went to community college for 2 years. Then I went to my bogus broadcast school. Then I made a deal with a guy that I could intern for him, but I had to go to the University of Washington. So you know what I did? I went to the University of Washington the next day to the admissions building, and I signed up and I got in because it was just that easy.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have... Even though I was young when I graduated high school.
You're very smart, but the grades didn't
reflect. I didn't have the greatest
that.
Grades.
Okay, yeah.
My final semester in high school, I decided, I've never gotten a 4.0 before. I'm going to just get a 4.0 one time in high school. Mm-hmm. So I did. But up until then, I think my GPA was like a 3.2. I
mean,
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I just didn't care. I didn't think I was going to go to college. I didn't think... I knew I was just going to work in a warehouse and all that. So my point being, any moron could get into the University of Washington back then, myself included. Now, if you have a 3.6 in AP classes, you are not assured of getting in.
No.
I don't know.
I actually have some statistics because I'm with Bishop Blanchett on the school board.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of looking into that. And you pretty much have to have like a 3.9 and like a 1300.
My wife is a college and careers counselor in high school. And preferably you have some community service. And I mean, you have to be somewhat of an achiever.
I know where you're going with this one, though.
So they have to send out a notice to not eat deadly mushrooms that are wildly growing on campus?
Just in case. Just in case someone is hungry, tempted.
Good grief. Anybody, you know what? They should not send out the memo, and anybody who eats a mushroom should be immediately expelled because despite their GPA and their SAT score, they're clearly too stupid to go to the University of Washington. How did we become so helpless?
They look edible. Apparently, they look like the, you know,
but
stuff
Ursula,
that's safe. I know.
This illustrates the much larger point that I've been talking about for years. We have become so helpless. We cannot live our own lives. We need government to tell us exactly how to live our life, what to think, what to eat that's growing wild on the campus.
If it makes you feel better, there are no reports of anyone actually eating them. Maybe it was just a precautionary thing. Like, so they don't get...
Somebody must have. I mean, otherwise, why send it out? I'm serious. You can be book smart, but the more government trains you that you don't have to think for yourself, the more, in as far as street smarts or real life smarts, the more morons we are cultivating in this world. We've got to get away from all of this. It's all wrong.
Look at this poison cap. Death cap mushrooms, they look hideous.
You know,
all mushrooms look hideous.
Oh, I love mushrooms, but not these ones.
Oh,
I mean, just the name alone would dissuade me. Would you like a death cap? No, I'm good. Thanks for the offer. Okay, let's get to the fastest 15 here. I never thought this would be possible. But there's a story in the news today because I'm a believer in good, healthy rivalries. And going back to when the 49ers were really good and they were battling the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game, the Seahawks won to go to the Super Bowl that they also won. I've always just kind of not liked the San Francisco 49ers. So this seems almost impossible to me. There's a story in the news today about something that really makes me like the San Francisco 49ers. They say that one of the possible reasons for their most successful start in 29 years, they're one of only two undefeated teams in the NFL, is the team has adopted a French bulldog. And they have a bunch of pictures of one-year-old Zoe, which they describe as the NFL's first-ever emotional support animal. And usually, I would be the first person to make fun of a football team needing an emotional support animal. But then I started reading about it. One of the guys on the team, Solomon Thomas, he's openly discussed his mental health struggles since his sister committed suicide in January of 2018. He said, this is a stressful job. It's very hard for a lot of guys. A dog could be a perfect getaway for some guys. And sometimes you don't know what a dog could mean. And yeah, that's right. Dogs mean a lot to us. And he said he can get really upset at practice. And then he comes in and Zoe races over to him. And he plays with the puppy for 10 or 15 minutes. And Zoe has her own Instagram account with more than 6,400 followers. It's the sweetest story. And all the players, you know, have adopted her. They showed a picture of one of the players holding up Zoe, like that scene in Lion King before a game.
What is so great is that there is still such a stigma about mental health.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about mental health and NFL football players, these, you know, and someone feeling like they're seemingly weak because they need help. I mean, I think this is such a great first step.
Especially in the NFL, you are not supposed to show any signs of any weakness whatsoever.
I mean, I think this is good for any workplace.
Seriously.
I mean, if a dog walks in here, the room just, I mean, crowds around the dog and everybody's had a good day because there was a dog that stopped by the office. I think that you can bring this into any workplace and say this is good for your company.
Why, in all seriousness, why don't we get a doggy here?
Because,
at Cairo?
Because Jim's dog chewed the wires to a microphone once.
Jim.
More.
Oh. And that's
why
he is a dog lover.
Do you remember what happened?
He pulled up the carpet,
a great dog owner, but his dog wasn't having it.
Do you remember what happened when I brought Buddy in?
I thought Buddy was great.
Buddy was fine. It was bring your pet to work day. So when did we do that? About 6 months ago or so? Mm-hmm. So I brought Buddy to work. And it happened, poor Buddy, because Buddy, I thought he was going to be a maniac.
Yeah.
And he was
Scooter
great.
Would be a maniac.
And there were other dogs here, and Buddy was just, he was on his very best behavior. So I had him in here in the studio during the show, and this happened to coincide when we had a horrible rodent problem in the building, and particularly in this studio.
Yep.
So our engineers, they set some mouse traps, and one was in the corner opposite where I am. One was in the corner right behind me. I didn't know that they had set one underneath this huge console in the middle of the room.
Right.
And so I'm sitting here, and they were baited, I think, with cheese with little peanut butter on them. So I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden I hear the trap underneath this console, which we can't see underneath it, but Buddy got snapped by the mouse trap here.
I know, poor Buddy.
I know.
It says last time I go to Europe.
No, it didn't get him.
No, good. I think it just barely clipped him. But even a barely clip would hurt.
I know, poor guy.
I felt really bad for him. Yeah. But So Jim Moore ruined it for the rest of us. That's what you're telling me.
Well,
we can't bring an emotional support dog in here because of that.
I think engineering did not approve, and poor Jim's taking the fall for it.
Why is everybody screws things up for me? I don't do anything. Every six months.
But what would you propose? Like everyone get to bring a dog, or having one station dog?
One station dog.
Okay.
Yeah, and we can rotate bringing it home at the end of the day. It'll be lucky dog.
And what about those who absolutely hate dogs or are fearful of them?
There's nobody like that. Yeah.
I don't want to work with that person. Hate dogs. Get rid of them. Is that
fireable?
Simple.
Offense.
That should be. Crying out loud.
Would you allow them to bring their cats too?
Absolutely not. No. No, and again, I don't mean to offend cat lovers.
Boy.
But clearly on the scale of emotional and practical worth, cats are so far behind dogs.
You're offending them all.
No, I don't hate cats. I'm not a cat hater. I think it's kind of fun when you stroke the underside of their neck and they start purring. That's really cute. Mm-hmm. But they have very little value as opposed to dogs.
Wait, they actually like kill mice. They keep. I mean, that's what my parents have them for. It's for them to keep the rodents away.
I like the
without
mousers.
The cheese traps.
I like the mouser cats.
Okay.
Those are cool. They're,
that's purpose, though.
Isn't there a program?
But if we could convince them that bringing a support animal would not only help with our mental health, but also help ratings. You said that for the
I bet we could.
Well, it would,
I could make that case.
It would help our social media numbers if we started an Instagram account.
Yeah. Michael, right?
Oh.
Michael has us on Facebook Live.
I know,
right now.
I have to get on Instagram.
No, we are.
I know. I am on Instagram.
You are.
But I don't know how to do it yet. But if I just made it the station dog in me.
Dory, all you need to do, because I did this, I have some depression, anxiety. I got a note from my doctor so I could get a dog because the apartment building that I live in doesn't allow pets. So I got a note from my doctor, showed it to my landlord, and he gave me permission to get a dog if I need one.
I think it would be illegal.
It would be.
If you got a doctor request for it.
Yeah, so
I'm saying you can get a doctor's note to get a dog and work.
Exactly.
Well, why don't you just go to HR here, show the note, and tell them you need the doggy here at work.
Yeah, get
it
for us.
That's a great idea, because with my lifestyle, I can't leave my dog at home for 10 hours.
No.
I have no dog yet, but I would love one.
Right.
Yeah, and I could bring it here.
You bring it here.
Okay.
I'll even take it home on play dates with Buddy once in a while.
All right.
Speaking of cats, isn't there a program? I looked into this. Isn't there a program in King County or somewhere locally where they will give you feral cats if you have like a rodent problem, and they'll live outside and they can just live under your deck or in a, if you had a rural area, a barn or something? I believe there's a program where they will give you feral cats to be...
the Alley Cat Project. Maybe.
To be mousers and rodent chasers. Because I was seriously thinking, until I discovered the pure joy of illegal scissors trap to kill a mole and pulling it out of the ground, which I haven't done for... What's the statute of limitations? 7 years? Mm-hmm. I have not used a scissors trap since 2011, I believe. But I discovered that that's a really satisfying way to, because those moles, what they do to the yard, you know, it's like they're wearing gang jackets. They're just so horrible. And but I was seriously thinking, and I looked into this, about getting a feral cat that would kill the moles, because the cat will just sit there motionless, because moles can detect the most minute vibrations in the ground. And a cat will just sit there, and then once the dirt starts getting pushed up, the cat will fierce with this prehistoric ferocity that's inbred in them. And it'll use those sharp teeth and claws, and it'll tear the mole to ribbons.
I think that's why you like cats.
You're adopting a feral cat. So You are giving the home to the feral cat. You can't just let it roam around your house.
The home is the world,
but
the earth.
It can be an outdoor.
But they're not house cats.
Right, they're outdoor cats.
Yeah, I'd put a little pad underneath my deck.
All right.
And if you had a feral cat, would you name it Will?
Will the feral?
Will Ferrell?
No,
Will...
I get it.
Oh.
Sean, we go over this all the time.
Do we?
I'm not like the other hosts.
What do you mean?
Who need to have your jokes explained to them.
Oh.
I get all of your stuff.
Got it.
I really do.
Okay.
Anyway, I love this story. Love that they have a emotional support dog. Does not make me like them more.
The 49ers.
Right.
Okay, so there you have that. Mm-hmm. once again, I'm one story into the Fastest 15. Okay, up next in the Fastest 15, speaking of the world of sport, we told you that Dennis Rodman, he says he wants to go to China and solve this brewing spat between the Chinese and the NBA. And he went on Tucker Carlson's show last night.
NBA is a great great sport. It's a great sport around the world.
Yeah,
I think the NBA players have an obligation to do one thing. It's to play sports.
Yeah.
I think when you put politics with sport, it doesn't mix. I think that the fact that when you put politics in sports, it seems to have a different twist on the game of the sports world. And basketball is a very, very universal sport, and it speaks volumes around the world.
Okay, now all of what he just said is true, but the NBA has proven itself to be a bunch of commie-loving hypocrites. All they care about is money. They will say no to go into the White House to see Donald Trump, but going to China, which executes a million people a year, oh yeah! Why? So they can cultivate the Chinese consumer market for Nikes, or the entertainment market in China for LeBron Space Jam 2. They can wear I Can't Breathe t-shirts during pregame warm-ups, but they can't speak out about Hong Kong independence. They'll take positions that are popular with the left in this country, so Hollywood would cheer how woke they are, but they won't do anything to hurt themselves financially when it comes to China. And by the way, speaking of what he just said, I just saw a thing. The NFL ratings are up 3% this year after several years of declining ratings. Why? Because nobody's talking about anthem protests. The people got sick and tired of politics with their sports. And now that the NFL has finally kind of rid itself of that this season, people are actually tuning back in bigger numbers. Okay, can I carry some of this over to the next segment?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. We're going to just check the news for you here. And then we will continue with a second Fastest 15 next. And listeners are making a lot of great points in the text messages. I can't get a feral cat to kill moles. First of all, I haven't had any moles the last 2 years,
yeah.
Knock on wood. But I talk all the time about how I've cultivated this beautiful songbird, and you know, I have bird feeders.
Yeah.
And
the tranquility of your yard would be shattered.
Yeah, and I've mentioned that I just this year have started attracting these incredibly gorgeous blue jays. And so I can't have a cat.
If
a cat went after any of my birds, I'd have to do something about the. In fact, do you remember that? That was before you were working on the show. When I had my old house, I'll get to these Fast 15 stories, Nicole. I swear to you, eventually. It's Friday.
I know.
I like
it
just chit-chatting on Fridays. Now, my old house, I built a pond by hand. I dug it out.
Wow.
And I learned I studied up how to build a little pond. I had a little waterfall. I put in the pond liner myself. Beautiful rock around it. And then I got a bunch of fish for my pond. Little goldfish. And I would go out after work and I would feed them. And I just loved doing it. My yard was way below my house at the old house. And but I would just go, and it was so tranquil, and I'd sprinkle the fish food, and they'd come up and eat it. And I would just sit and watch them, and it was my decompression time.
Right.
And then one day, I saw a cat sitting on the edge of my pond. It was going to go after my fish. And I even did it as a topic, and a lot of people hated me desperately that I would even consider this. But I had a little pellet gun. And I was thinking, if somebody else's cat is sitting on the edge of my paw. And I'm not going to, you're not going to kill it with a pellet gun, especially from the great distance that my deck was. But it crossed my mind because I loved my little fish as much as anybody would love a cat. Because on the emotional...
There are other ways to get that cat away from the pond.
Yeah, but there's one easiest way.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, what other way? I could put a net over it.
That's what my parents do for their pond.
Yeah. No, I know people who have koi, and they have their ponds net off. And you build shelves, rock shelves, mm-hmm. that the fish can hide underneath. But hey, anyway, I can't get a feral cat. Because I got all these birds that I love now. I'm like Audubon.
Your backyard is like a scene from an Audubon magazine.
I will continue to deal with the moles in a safe and humane way if they ever come back. Nothing is going to harm my birds. Because I tell you what. That is, it's just life-altering to just go and sit on the deck and watch the birds on the feeder, watch the squirrels run around the tree. It's just beautiful. Lovely. Okay, let's get back to the Fast 50. I got one more before you leave, Ursula. I know you got a newscast to put together. Brand new study is out. The age, according to a new survey, the age where life is least fun is age 45.
Why?
According to a new survey of 2,000 people, they say that life is least fun at age 45. Most people feel it's harder to enjoy life at that age as much as they did in childhood. 10% of people say they do not partake in any fun during a typical week. The reasons why? They don't have the money, they don't have the energy, or they just don't know how to have fun.
Do you agree with that?
No. 45 is not when life is least fun.
No. What do you think?
58.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
You know what?
I'm certain.
I know. There is something to being in your 50s. And I will say, you're still raising kids. Mm-hmm. But you're also, oftentimes helping with your elderly parents.
In the middle of that sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's yep.
I feel that might be about the age when you start, most kids start moving out, things like that. And maybe you don't know what to do for fun anymore because you don't have kids. You're not taking them to like pumpkin patches and
it's very
Disneyland.
There are two things at play. One is your friends for, the last 20, 25 years are usually the parents of your kids' friends. Mm-hmm. And then as the kids go off to do, you're still friends with those people, but you don't have as many things that bring you together.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's at play is, my wife and I were just talking about this. You know how to be married when you're young. Because you're in love and everything's an adventure and you're looking forward to having kids and you know how to be married and in love as you have kids because that becomes the focal point of your life.
Even conversations when you're at dinner, it just revolves around kids.
Yeah. You can envision being old together and what you're going to do in retirement. But there's that space from when your kids have gone off. And when you are, still working and not yet retired, where I don't think any of us have any template on how marriage and love is supposed to be at that stage in life.
I'm getting
really heavy here.
Well, no, but it's true because it's almost like you have to get reacquainted with your partner.
Yeah. It was funny. My wife was talking with a friend about that. I was talking with my small group about that. And then my wife and I ended up talking about that. And it's true. And it's amazing how many people who are our friends and in our peer group who they wrestle with the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And there's only one thing I'll say that's good about being 58.
What's that?
I'm certain it's going to be better than being 59.
I disagree.
Because you're going to have a brand new knee and it's going to work awesome.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah, we forgot about that part when the body starts breaking down. That's the other part of it.
You're suggesting I forgot about that part?
No, but we were just bringing
up the entire part.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
That's everything. Jeez. So here's what I... Oh.
I'm sorry.
Can I just keep chatting here? So I had a little...
We're sounding like I'm on a rocking chair. It's like, yeah. Come on, it's not that bad.
We're really getting the young demos in today.
I'm going to play some rap music again in a minute.
Which we won't recognize.
So I got a cortisone shot yesterday, and it looks like I'm finally going to have to do this knee replacement. I've held it off as long as I could. So then they tell me, I go, how long am I going to have to miss work? Because I'm thinking if I get the knee replaced on Friday, I'll be back here on Monday. And they said, you're probably looking at 3 to 4 weeks. I can't. I'm not going to take 3 to 4 weeks.
You don't even know what that's like.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah. I'm not taking a month off the show.
We'll come to you.
I seriously. And then, you know, the rehab, they said, it can be, 6 to 9 months. And I said to my wife last night, so it's like scheduling going in and having my Achilles snapped again. Why would I do that? So I don't know about this whole thing.
Because at some point you have to
I don't know.
Worry more about your personal health than
I don't know about any of this nonsense.
Because you can have control over it and choose when to do it, or you can just, your knee blows out one day and you have to have an emergency surgery.
I might have to go to the UW and find some of those mushrooms.
And as I mentioned, if
no,
Tom
not the deadly
can do
one.
It.
No, the hallucinogenic ones.
Yeah,
not the deadly ones.
But if Tom can broadcast from home, so can Dory.
That's what I say. It'll be fun. It'll be really fun. Do you mind if I just do these fastest 15 stories?
Yeah, we'll get to
the
them eventually.
Segment? Yeah, no, I'll get to them. Okay, we got so much more to do as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Dory Monson Show rolls on. I love this. Just as kind of a side note. Barack Obama has given an endorsement to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. So our first black president has endorsed the first blackface prime minister, but he won't endorse Biden, his VP of 8 years, because the party has gone so radical. If Obama endorsed Biden, the radical left that has become the mainstream of the Democrat Party would despise Obama. They would. The fact that he endorsed the blackface prime minister, Justin Trudeau, that's rich. I love this story. A guy who's on his way to run the Chicago Marathon, he's 54 years old, and he was just riding the train in Chicago to get to the marathon. All of a sudden, he was off the train, and all of a sudden, he heard people screaming. There was a man with a gun who was robbing people on the train. So Jean-Paul LaPierre, the 54-year-old guy, he goes running onto the train, knowing that there was a guy with a gun robbing people, and he takes the gun away, and then it's incredible. You got to hear the news story. I'd heard about this when it happened, but now we're hearing from the guy who was at the center of the story.
When Jean-Paul LaPierre saw a man robbing CTA
using nonviolent
on the way to the Chicago Marathon, he didn't.
You don't move. You don't move.
When Jean-Paul LaPierre saw men robbing CTA riders on their way to the Chicago Marathon, he didn't sit idly by.
Get down out of the ground!
Look close. That's a gun LaPierre took away from the robber in red. This all started as a train was stopped at Cumberland and riders were rushing for the doors.
He said, this doesn't seem the right way. He says, no, there's a guy on the train with a gun walking around right now robbing people. So that kind of made me mad.
He went back on the train and confronted the man.
Who does that? This guy's a hero, the Good Samaritan hero. So it's kind of a younger guy with the gun, This guy's 54. He doesn't look like the biggest guy in the world. You can imagine he's a marathon runner, so he's not a thick person. He looks pretty slight, but he apparently used to do some Golden Gloves boxing, and he takes a gun away from an armed robber.
Entirely on his own. The confrontation caused concern among some passengers.
So these other wimpy passengers, oh, you're going to make it worse after he took away the gun from the guy.
Hey, you're going to be a police officer right now.
While Pierre asked for help handling the gun.
Hey, put the safety on that gun. So he says, can somebody put the safety on this gun? And the woman goes, I wouldn't know how to do that.
Somebody put the safety on that gun. I'm a boxer, I'll break your head in one punch.
So that's the plot line I love. After he's, you know, while he's holding the gun in his right hand, he's holding the bad guy with his left hand against the door, and he tells this guy who's younger than him and, you know, same size as him, I'm a boxer, I will break your head, he told him. I love that.
I'm a boxer, I'll break your head in one punch.
Just a few hours later, and after finishing the marathon himself, LaPierre told our Shannon Halligan the alleged robber had friends on the train.
They started threatening me, but I just stood stern-faced, and the guy kept saying to me, it's just the gun, let me go, let me go, and I kept telling him, you're not going anywhere.
No, I don't kill him!
A marathon runner who was threatened moments earlier and provided this video to WGN says she's thankful LaPierre was there. He didn't hesitate to step in at all. It was incredible to see because everyone else just sat there frozen. The 54-year-old...
This is the thing about life. You can be a bystander victim of life, or you can be a participant who controls life. And I know this could have gone horribly wrong for this guy, but what a hero. What an absolute hero in these increasingly wimpy times.
The 54-year-old runs a storage facility in the Boston area. He says he's used to tough guys. Golden Gloves boxing in his youth.
Black belt in karate. I have no problem breaking your neck.
I have a black belt in karate. I have no problem breaking your neck.
Armed him.
No problem breaking your neck.
For this encounter.
You know, incidents happen all over, you know.
Despite the standoff on the CTA, LaPierre says he loves Chicago.
So he disarms a robber, holds him for police. The guy's facing multiple charges, the robber is. And then he goes and runs a marathon right after that. There are still tough guys in this world. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then the big lead at 2 is coming up next.